We should talk a little bit about the setup for the 12th chapter, which is in the 11th chapter. You all know that Krishna displays his universal form to Arjuna after hearing in the 10th chapter about the qualities of Krishna, how he appears as the greatest things of the greatest of all things in the world are actually Krishna. So then Arjuna asks to see him in this way, and he gives Arjuna divine eyes where he gets to see a unique form of Krishna in all his splendor in terms of the great powerful all the powerful and wonderful and great things, all the demigods and all the past, present and future, and things happening in the universal form that Arjuna saw. He also saw the outcome of the Kurukshetra battle, and all the great heroes were being destroyed in the mouth of that form. And Arjuna was very, very frightened, and he said that he was disturbed, and he wanted Krishna to go back to his original form. And Krishna first appeared in a four-armed form, and then he again appeared in a very beautiful two-armed form. And and Arjuna was very happy to see that form. And then he told Arjuna that that form was only understood by undivided devotional service. And that's the only way to see him directly in that way and enter into the mysteries of his understanding. So, in the beginning of the 12th chapter then, Arjuna says, he asks the question about which is considered to be more perfect, those engaged in devotional service, as Krishna had just been talking about, or those who worship the impersonal or unmanifested form of Krishna, because he also is the unmanifested absolute described in the Upanishads as having no qualities and having no form. That's also Krishna. That's described as the effulgence of his transcendental body, that Brahma Jyoti. So Arjuna's asking which is more perfect, and Krishna gives the answer, of course, that devotional service is more perfect. But let's go ahead and let's just read together. It's a short chapter, and we can read together all of the Sanskrit. Arjuna uvacha evang satata yukta ye bhaktastvang paryupasate ye chapyaksharam avyaktam teshang ke yogavittamaha. Shri Bhagavan uvacha maya veshyamano ye mang nitya yukta upasate shradhaya parayopetas te me yuktatama mataha ye tvaksharam nirdeshyam avyaktam paryupasate sarvatrakam machintyang cha kutastam machalang dhruvam sanniyam indriya gramang sarvatra samabuddhayaha te prapnuvanti mameva sarva bhuta hite rataha klesho adhikitaraste sham avyakta sakta chetasam avyakta hi katir dukham dehavad bhiravapyate yetu sarvani karmani mayi sanyasya matparaha ananyena eva yogena mang dhyayanta upasate te shamahang samudharta mityu sangsara sagarat bhavami nacharat partha maya veshita chetasam mayeva mana adhatsva mayi buddhin niveshaya nivashishyasi mayeva ata urdhvam sangshayaha ata chitam samadhatum na shaknosi maistira abhyasa yogena tato mamichaptum tananjaya abhyase pyasamartosi matkarma paramo bhava madartam api karmani kurvan siddhing avapsyasi atayetad apyashaktosi kartung madyogamashritaha sarva karma palak tyagam tatak kuru yathatmavan.
Dhyanat karma palatyagas tyagach chantiranantaram advesta sarva bhutanam maitra karuna evacha nirmamo nirahankaraha samadukha sukakshami santushtak satatang yogi yatatma dridha nishchayaha mayarpitam mano buddhir yomad bhakta same priyaha yasman no dvijate loko lokan no dvijate chayaha harsham arsha bhayodvegair mukto yak sachame priyaha anapekshak shuchir daksha udasino gatavyataha sarvarambha parityagi yomad bhakta same priyaha yono hrishyati na dvishti na shochati na kangshati shubha shubha parityagi bhakti man yak same priyaha samakshatra cha mitre cha tatha manapamanayoho shitoshna sukha dukheshu samaksanga vibarjitaha tulyaninda stutir mauni santushto yena kena chit aniketak sthiramatir bhakti man me priyo naraha yetu dharmatnatam idam yaktoktam paripasate shradadhana mat parama bhaktas te tiva me priyaha.
So I'll just read the English. Arjuna inquired, which are considered to be more perfect, those who are always properly engaged in your devotional service or those who worship the impersonal Brahman, the unmanifested? The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, those who fix their minds on my personal form and are always engaged in worshiping me with great and transcendental faith are considered by me to be most perfect. But those who fully worship the unmanifested, that which lies beyond the perception of the senses, the all-pervading, inconceivable, unchanging, fixed, and immovable, the impersonal conception of the absolute truth, by controlling the various senses and being equally disposed to everyone, such persons, engaged in the welfare of all, at last achieve me. For those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested, impersonal feature of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. To make progress in that discipline is always difficult for those who are embodied. But those who worship me, giving up all their activities unto me and being devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service and always meditating upon me, having fixed their minds upon me, O son of Pritha, for them I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. Just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus you will live in me always, without a doubt. My dear Arjuna, O winner of wealth, if you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga. In this way, develop a desire to attain me. If you cannot practice the regulations of bhakti yoga, then just try to work for me, because by working for me, you will come to the perfect stage. If, however, you are unable to work in this consciousness of me, then try to act, giving up all results of your work, and try to be self-situated. If you cannot take to this practice, then engage yourself in the cultivation of knowledge. Better than knowledge, however, is meditation, and better than meditation is renunciation of the fruits of action, for by such renunciation one can attain peace of mind. One who is not envious, well, if we can just, by up to this point in verse 12, Krishna has answered this question about the devotional service is better, and that there's this hierarchy of other practices, that a mental speculation about the impersonal absolute truth is kind of the lowest in this whole hierarchy. So he's answered that question. Now he's talking about devotional service and the qualities of devotional service. Text 13 and 14. One who is not envious but is a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled, and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me, such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. He by whom no one is put into difficulty, and who is not disturbed by anyone, who is equipoised in happiness and distress, fear and anxiety, is very dear to me. My devotee, who is not dependent on the ordinary course of activities, who is pure, expert, without cares, free from all pains, and not striving for some result, is very dear to me. One who neither rejoices nor grieves, who neither laments nor desires, and who renounces both auspicious and inauspicious things, such a devotee is very dear to me. One who is equal to friends and enemies, who is equipoised in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy, who is always free from contaminating association, always silent and satisfied with anything, who doesn't care for any residence, who is fixed in knowledge and who is engaged in devotional service, such a person is very dear to me. Those who follow this imperishable path of devotional service and who completely engage themselves with faith, making me the supreme goal, are very, very dear to me. So there we have a description of devotional service, of topmost, what devotional service really is, these qualities of the devotees. So let's read the purport to text 6 and 7. Yetu sarvani karmani mayi sanyasya matparaha ananyenaiva yogena mang tyayanta upasate te shamahang samudharta mrityu sangsara sagarat bhavami nachirat partha maya veshita chetasam. But those who worship me, giving up all their activities unto me and being devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service and always meditating upon me, having fixed their minds upon me, O son of Pritha, for them I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is explicitly stated here that the devotees are very fortunate to be delivered very soon from material existence by the Lord. In pure devotional service, one comes to the realization that God is great and that the individual soul is subordinate to him. His duty is to render service to the Lord, and if he does not, then he will render service to Maya. As stated before, the Supreme Lord can be appreciated only by devotional service. Therefore, one should be fully devoted. One should fix his mind fully on Krishna in order to achieve him. One should work only for Krishna. It does not matter in what kind of work one engages, but that work should be done only for Krishna. That is the standard of devotional service. The devotee does not desire any achievement other than pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead for Krishna's satisfaction, just as Arjuna did on the Battle of Kurukshetra. The process is very simple. One can devote himself in his occupation and engage at the same time in chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Such transcendental chanting attracts the devotee to the Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord herein promises that without delay he will deliver a pure devotee, thus engaged, from the ocean of material existence. Those who are advanced in yoga practice can willfully transfer the soul to whatever planet they like by the yoga process, and others take the opportunity in various ways. But as far as the devotee is concerned, it is clearly stated here that the Lord himself takes him. The devotee does not need to wait to become very experienced in order to transfer himself to the spiritual sky. In the Varaha Purana, this verse appears, Nayami paramangsthanam archiradi gating vina guruda skandham aropya yatecham anivaritaha. The purport of this verse is that a devotee does not need to practice Ashtanga Yoga in order to transfer his soul to the spiritual planets. The responsibility is taken by the Supreme Lord himself. He clearly states here that he himself becomes the deliverer. A child is completely cared for by his parents, excuse me, and thus his position is secure. Similarly, a devotee does not need to endeavor to transfer himself by yoga practice to other planets. Rather, the Supreme Lord, by his great mercy, comes at once riding on his bird carrier Garuda and at once delivers the devotee from material existence. Although a man who has fallen in the ocean may struggle very hard and may be very expert in swimming, he cannot save himself. But if someone comes and picks him up from the water, then he is easily rescued. Similarly, the Lord picks up the devotee from this material existence. One simply has to practice the easy process of Krishna consciousness and fully engage himself in devotional service. Any intelligent man should always prefer the process of devotional service to all other paths. In the Narayaniya, this is confirmed as follows. Yavai sadhana sampatihi purushartha chatushtaye tayavina tad apnoti naro narayan ashrayaha. The purport of this verse is that one should not engage in the different processes of fruitive activity or cultivate knowledge by the mental speculative process. One who is devoted to the Supreme Personality can attain all the benefits derived from other yogic processes, speculation, rituals, sacrifices, charities, etc. That is the specific benediction of devotional service. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. A devotee of the Lord can approach the supreme destination easily and happily, but this destination cannot be approached by any other process of religion. The conclusion of Bhagavad Gita is stated in the 18th chapter, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekang Sharanang Vraja Ahang Tvang Sarva Papepyo Moksha Yashyami Ma Suchaha. One should give up all other processes of self-realization and simply execute devotional service in Krishna consciousness. That will enable one to reach the highest perfection of life. There is no need for one to consider the sinful actions of his past life because the Supreme Lord fully takes charge of him. Therefore, one should not futilely try to deliver himself in spiritual realization. Let everyone take shelter of the Supreme, Omnipotent Godhead, Krishna. That is the highest perfection of life. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. There we have, I think, an answer to Sunny's question as well about the one doesn't sarva dharman parityaja. Krishna, if one engages in devotional service, Krishna will take control of all the sins. We don't have to worry about any separate process for expunging our sins. Generally, it's found that those who take to devotional service with determination are people who've lived piously without sin in this life and in previous lives. Yeshang tvantagatang papang janana punya karmanam te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajante mang dridhavrataha. This is a verse in the 7th chapter. This devotional service is so powerful that by coming into association with devotees and hearing about Krishna and touching Srila Prabhupada's books, reading Srila Prabhupada's books, tasting Krishna prasadam and seeing the beautiful forms of the deities, that the sins are very quickly cleared away so that one can actually attain faith in this process, and that faith can become strong. People who have been too sinful, they don't have much faith in devotional service. But here, everyone respects Bhagavad Gita, and here Krishna is very clearly in this 12th chapter recommending devotional service over all other processes, over mental speculation and over contemplation or meditation on that which is impersonal and formless. Krishna is recommending that one just take shelter of him. And he says, me. He says over and over again, me. He doesn't mean, when he says me, some commentators try to say that by saying me, he's really referring to something formless and impersonal. But here it's clear that Krishna is distinguishing devotional service to him from meditation on something formless and impersonal and recommending the former over the latter. One devotee here, Dayanidhi, you all know Dayanidhi, he challenged me, what verse, what purport is it where Srila Prabhupada says the Hare Krishna mantra twice in the same purport? There may be more than one, but we've just found one of them. Of course, it's the purport to two verses, so maybe that okay. So does anyone have any further comments and questions? We have about 5 or 10 minutes to go. Yes, Prabhu. Klesho Adhikataraste Sham.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Hare Bo. What's your name, Prabhu?
My name is Srikanta.
Srikanta.
Yeah.
Okay, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Renunciation, like Krishna told, in what sense the renunciation in the material world we should renounce, or like we should work like in some point? Like renunciation is Krishna says in like which sense?
Oh, throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that we don't have to... in fact, we should not prematurely renounce our obligations, our duties. We shouldn't renounce our duties. some people actually have the duty as sannyasis to show the life of one who is completely dependent on God. That is Vaishnava sannyasis, Tridandi sannyasis. They just engage in devotional service. Paramahansas, they don't have to go to seek what will they eat, where will they sleep. What, you know, they're not concerned about such things. They're fully intoxicated in Krishna consciousness. Like the six Goswamis showed that example of being Paramahansas. But generally, what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita is, for example, Arjuna was a Kshatriya. He was a great hero, a fighter. His duty was to engage in righteous battle, to uphold the principles of religion. And Krishna was engaging him in that duty. So Arjuna was, in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna's talking about karma yoga, Arjuna was inquisitive about that. If you're saying that the goal of life is to be enlightened, shouldn't I renounce the warfare and just go and be enlightened? And Krishna was saying, no, to be enlightened doesn't mean that you renounce the work of your body. It means that you renounce the conception that you are the body and that you're the enjoyer of the results of the work. If you understand me to be the enjoyer of the results of the work and you do your duty, karmanye vadikaraste ma paleshu kadachana ma karma pala sangyogam ma karma pala hetur pur ma te sangas tva karmani. Thank you very much. I'm sorry, this is verse 247, very well-known verse that Krishna is describing the process of karma yoga, that one performs one's duties as one is required according to one's varna and one's ashrama in life. And one can, by performing one's duties and not shirking one's responsibilities, one can be in the perfectional state of consciousness. And also, similarly, one can outwardly abandon the duties or to adopt the duties of a formal renunciate, but if within their mind they're still attracted to sense objects and the idea of enjoying them, then they're just pretending renunciation, and it's far better, Prabhupada says, far better to be an honest sweeper of the street than a charlatan yogi, you know. So, but Krishna is explaining the situation of a devotee here, that one renounces, how does he say in these last verses, that one renounces both auspicious and inauspicious things. He's not describing that you have to, stop doing sacrifices, stop doing charities, stop taking care of your family, stop obeying the laws of the government and doing your duties as required in life, but rather that you stop the misconception that, you know, like people take their positions so importantly, they think that's who I am, you know. You watch the politicians on TV and they're upholding this or that, and they're thinking, you know, this is who I am. But it's just the role they're playing. It's their material senses and are engaged with their objects this way. The modes of material nature are conducting the activities of the material body, and the spirit soul is a servant of Krishna. And by learning, by performing our works, but by meditating on Krishna, by giving the results of our works, such as donating this temple, we're trying to buy a nice, more suitable temple, and by donating some of the fruits of the work, some of the hard-earned money. Or Dilip Prabhu is here, they're distributing Bhagavad Gitas to all the hotels and motels in the United States. So this is a very great opportunity for someone, if someone wants to purify their activity of earning wealth by giving some wealth to some first-class charity. This is the highest welfare work, if you can put Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is in hotel rooms where people will touch it, and the next great devotees that liberate the whole world will be because of your donation have an opportunity to read Prabhupada's books in some motel somewhere. So Prabhupada says in the purport that we just read that he explains how one can do that. Right, he was saying that by chanting Hare Krishna, he can go on with his occupation. That's what Prabhupada says. He said, The devotee does not desire any achievement other than pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His life mission is to please Krishna, and he can sacrifice everything for Krishna's satisfaction, just as Arjuna did in the Battle of Kurukshetra. See, Arjuna actually fought in the Battle of Kurukshetra just like an ordinary soldier will fight in a war. Of course, he was extraordinary. But he fought in the battle rather than becoming a sannyasi or a yogi. There's never any, Prabhupada points out, there's never any history of Arjuna going off and practicing pranayama or sitting in one place and meditating on Krishna in that way. But he meditated on Krishna all the time because of his great love for Krishna as his cousin brother. And he fought in the battle as Krishna advised him to do. And Prabhupada says the process is very simple. One can devote himself in his occupation and engage at the same time in chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they were enriched in understanding Lord Chaitanya, and they understood why Lord Chaitanya was encouraging everyone to constantly chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And we can chant, we go out on Harinam Sankirtan. You should all join us when we go out on our monthly Sankirtan festivals in Palo Alto, and now we're looking for other places also to go out on a Friday evening and chant in public. And we can also chant our japa every day and take a regulation to chant a fixed number of rounds each day to become initiated disciple. Within ISKCON, we have to chant 16 rounds every day. And Srila Prabhupada said that, of course, the Rupa Goswami teaches in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that the purpose of all rules and regulations is to always remember Krishna and never forget him. And all the rules and regulations of all religions, all different religions, different scriptures, everything, they're really aiming for ultimately for that purpose. And the rules and regulations of devotional service, just like Krishna says in this chapter, just always think of me, what is it? Mayeva mana adhatsva, mayi budhing niveshaya. So engage your intelligence fully in me and stuff. In this way, you'll live with me always. Niveshishyasi mayeva ata urdvang nasangshayaha. But how does one do that? So Prabhupada also said, yes, that's the purpose. But he said, if you don't chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna japa every day, it will be very difficult for you to remember Krishna in this way, to really remember Krishna throughout the day in your occupation and so forth. But if you get up early in the morning and you chant your japa before you go to work, or if you can manage to do that, some people have to work too early, but if you could squeeze it in. But we say that by having a good morning program of remembering Krishna, observing the arati, chanting japa, worshipping Tulsi, reading from Prabhupada's books, then it's like putting on good shoes. You can go out in the day and walk, and you won't get pricked by thorns and hurt. You'll be protected, so that you'll always be able to remain in Krishna consciousness. Although, like Prabhupada recommends that you constantly chant Hare Krishna, but in a lot of occupations, you can't just go on chanting Hare Krishna, or you'll get fired. You're called into a meeting, and your boss is talking to you, and you're Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Today I was chanting japa in Santa Cruz, and people kept, stopping and saying, "What? Were you talking to me? What did you say?" I guess I chant too loudly or something like that. There was one guy who was like, kept pointing at me and stuff, and I pulled my bead back. I'm telling my mantras, but if we chant, japa, then we'll be able to constantly in our mind, we'll be chanting as we do our other things, and we'll also be meditating on how everything we're doing is for Krishna. Manasa deho geho, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Manasa deho geho yo kichumor arpinantu apade nandakishor. Everything's for you, O son of Nanda Maharaj, my house, my mind, my family, my body, it all belongs to you, Prince of Vrindavan, like that. So, Jai Srila Prabhupada, Jai Bhagavad Gita, Jai Sri Krishna, Hari Bol. Thank you all for the opportunity to be here with you and speak about Krishna. Hari Bol. So now we have Arti.
Yes. Akrona Prabhu Ki.
Yeah. she's in the same class.